Well, howdy, everyone. I trust that you've been having a great time in Christ. My administrative assistant today wore a little thing like a headband on her head that had raised statement, "The best day ever." That's how Jesus feels, how he feels. The person standing in front of you is the most important person ever. Whatever they're talking about is the most important story he's ever heard. And this is the day he's made, and this is the best day ever. Jesus loves Mondays. He can do Mondays. And whatever your responsibilities are to Christ, it's the best day ever. So I just encourage you to embrace the wonders of childlikeness. We're going to talk about that today. Because if you're going to abide in Christ, you're abiding in the one who, in his humanity, was the most Christ-like person who ever lived. It's a stunning thing to say, but it's true. Not childish person, but Christ-like person who ever lived. And so as we learn to abide in him, to rest in him, to live from him, it's important that the Holy Spirit, that we hear and pay attention to the Holy Spirit teaching us about him. Because he said he would lead us into all truth. He would teach us all things Jesus. And so he's going to teach you about the innocence and the childlikeness of Jesus that we live from, that we're in union with. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. This is a quote from C.S. Lewis. And he wrote this to his stepson. This is before he got married. And his stepson was still living in America and enjoying his books. And the Chronicles that Lewis wrote. And he wrote this to him. I guess his stepson was 10 years old at the time. "When I was 10, Lewis said, I read fairy tales in secret. And I would have been ashamed if I had been found doing so. But now that I'm 50, I read them openly. When I became a man, I put away childish things, including the fear of childlikeness and the desire to be so very grown up." I love that. I put away childish things, including the fear of childlikeness and the desire to be very grown up. In Mark chapter 9. There's so much here, but we're just going to speak of a few brief things today. This is verse 36 of Mark 9. "And taking a child, he stood him in the midst of them. And taking him in his arms, he said to them, Whoever receives one child like this in my name is receiving me. And whoever receives me is not receiving me, but him who sent me." Now let me read this place in Matthew. Chapter 18. "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a little child to himself." And every time the word child is used here or in Mark, he's using the term little child. "And he called a little child to himself and stood him in their midst and said, Truly I say to you, unless you are converted." Now he's speaking to his apostles. So it's not about them becoming Christians, but about their mind changing. "But unless your mind changes and you become like a little child, you shall not experience the kingdom of heaven or explore the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." There's another place where Jesus speaks to little children. He says, "In the kingdom of heaven is made up of such as these." Now this place where Jesus has received this child, held him in his arms, embraced him, and said, "Whoever receives one child like this one in my name is receiving me. Whoever receives me is not receiving me, but him who sent me." There's a lot of things here that we can unpack. Sometimes scripture's like a hologram. You look at it, it says different things. As long as it doesn't contradict other things in Scripture, that's part of the magic of the Bible. Because it's not just a normal book. It is a holy book. It is a supernatural book. And so it's the book of Narnia. It opens up to us the reality of spiritual Narnia, the kingdom of heaven. But one of the things he's saying here is that Jesus identifies himself in Matthew 24. He identifies himself here with the least or the most vulnerable. But he especially identifies himself in the Gospels with little children. And he says here, if you receive a little child in my name, you've received me. And it's not that you've received me, you've actually received the Father, for the one who sent me. And then about the kingdom, the kingdom is made up of such as these, that we have to have our minds changed to become like little children. To walk in childlike faith, I've discovered, as I've been able to prove to travel around the world, when I find childlike faith, it really doesn't matter whether the people are rich or poor. If they have childlike faith, there's a tendency for them to be able to receive signs and wonders at a level that we don't normally see in the West. Ministered in Africa among the very poor, and the poor do have a tendency to have childlike faith because they're desperate and expectant. But I've also prayed for affluent people in other nations, very wealthy, very educated, and saw the same percentage of people getting healed in those places that in Africa, because I encountered a childlike expectation, childlike wonder, childlike faith. Now, he talks in Matthew 18, he said, if you cause any one of these who believe to stumble, he references childlike children, little children, because their tendency to believe in wonders and signs and holy magic and all that kind of thing, the supernatural. To believe in the simple thing, but they believe. If you tell a little child something, they believe you, even if it's the most ridiculous thing in the world. But what this says to me, when he says, if you receive a little child, you've received me. If you receive me, you've received the Father. That the essential nature of the kingdom and the essential nature of God is childlikeness. I didn't say childishness. I didn't say immaturity, but childlikeness. The innocence of a little child. And again, when I say innocence, I'm not talking about you're no longer guilty about something. I mean the innocence, that you see things through the eyes of innocence, not hurt, not skepticism, not pain, not suspicion, not offense. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how many times do we, especially the more we've been hurt or disappointed, we see things through the eyes of criticalness, through the grid of rejection. And so something may be done or said to us that was not intended to be rejection in any way, shape, or form, but we see it through that grid because of our brokenness and our lack of innocence. You see, as a result of the fall, the nature of mankind was spoiled. Spoiled and soiled. And so that we now trying to do life apart from God, we get injured and wounded and disappointed and all those kind of things. Plus, there's just this law of sin in our members. We even inherit tendencies of sin from our ancestors, even to four generations. And so here we are living from a soiled perspective to where we see things and we respond to things out of hurt and pain, disappointment, abandonment, all those kind of things. And therefore, we've lost our innocence. But when we become Christians, what we enter into is the fact that Jesus took that person with a soiled nature, bore our sorrows, bore our pains, and you, the fallen, broken person, with a soiled nature and disposition, was crucified on the cross. Now we're joined to him in his resurrection. We've been grafted into his life, into his righteousness. and you've heard me say this before lately, one of the ways to describe righteousness is unbrokenness and innocence. We were grafted into his unbrokenness and his innocence. We've become the righteousness of God in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5. According to 2 Peter, we're partakers of the divine nature. Your nature is now the divine, is the nature of Jesus. You're not Jesus, but you're in union with his nature. His nature is now your nature. You've been grafted into his unbrokenness and his innocence, his childlikeness, so that you can now see things and you can perceive people from a place of innocence and unbrokenness instead of a place of suspicion and criticalness and rejection and offense, self-protection, defensiveness, all those things that we react to people and situations because of our brokenness and our lack of innocence. We are now in union with the innocence and the unbrokenness of Jesus, the righteousness of Jesus. And so to be able to believe how he believes, you know, there's over and over again in scriptures, it talks about the faith of God. You know that God has childlike faith? He believes what he does. He believes in his plan of salvation. He believes in that his word will not return void. He believes in his ability. He believes that he's going to cause all things to work together for good. He believes he's going to win. Other things are going to be manifested. The enemy's going to be defeated. Death's going to finally be defeated totally in the end. He believes that. He believes that the enemy was utterly destroyed at the cross. He believes that. You know, it says, Galatians 2:20, in the King James, and they get it right in the King James this time. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Just earlier, before that, Galatians 2:20 and Galatians 2:16, he uses the phrase, the faith of God. There's a place, this is real familiar, one in Mark, after Jesus had cursed the fig tree. And when they passed by the next day, and the fig tree was behold, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. And Jesus said, Jesus answered, saying to them repeatedly, that's the language, have the faith of God. And I say to you, whoever you say, whoever says this mountain be taken into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen or has happening, it shall be granted him. Have the faith of God. So that's childlikeness. Children, this is what I mean by the innocence that believes. There's a place in 2 Timothy 2:13 that even when we believe not, he abides faithful, for he cannot deny himself. But the word there, faithful, can also be translated, because it's just the word faith. Even when we believe not, he abides in faith. He believes. And I can't tell you how many times in my walk with the Lord, the Holy Spirit teaching me the ways of Christ so I can participate in my union with him and abide in him. And he'll just teach me things like, I'll go into a circumstance and like, oh my gosh, I'll hear the Holy Spirit speak the words of Jesus to me. I have faith for this. That's always amazing. It's always fun. It's always cool. He has faith for this. When I stand up to minister prophetically or to give people words of knowledge, instead of being introspective, you know, and well, I don't know if I can do this, I'm feeling nervous and anxious, I'm in Christ. I'm in union with him. I'm grafted into his innocence, his childlike innocence. You know what? And he believes. And because he believes, I believe. We're one. I can just rest in his childlike faith, his childlike innocence. When somebody does something to me that hurts me, I don't have to respond out of pain or hurt or history. I have a new history, and it's the cross. I have a new family tree, and it's the cross. I'm in union with Jesus. And when they hurt me, instead of me responding out of a soiled place, a broken place that just wants to defend, strike back, say something to them, you know, quarrel with them, instead, you know what? I just love them. Because it says a gentle word turns away wrath. That's just the ways of Christ. I just love them. I love them more. I'm get offended for them because I know they're doing what they're doing out of their own brokenness. And I'm just loving them more. That's childlikeness. That's childlike faith. That's innocence. Living from innocence is so clean. It's so powerful. Instead of being skeptical and cynical and suspicious and then critical, offended, bitter, resentful. No, innocence of Jesus. Well, you don't live from any of that stuff. You're living from his innocent heart that you're in union with. That's amazing to me. That's powerful, stunning. I pray that the Holy Spirit gives you ears to hear what I'm saying to him. Because I know that you know people. Maybe you're one of those persons who just doesn't trust people. That's because you were disappointed and hurt. As a child, maybe. Maybe you were abandoned. And so you just don't trust people. Because when you have in the past, you've gotten hurt. And so what if you trust them again, you may get hurt. And so you live with that place of soil. But that person was crucified in Christ. And from a place of innocence, you can trust again. You can love them. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love doesn't take into account wrong suffering. Love is kind. Love bears all things. You say, well, what if they hurt me again? Then there's an opportunity to love them even more. I'm not having to protect myself. When somebody hurts me, it just launches me into greater Christlikeness. You say, I don't have to live in self-protection. You say, but if you be that innocent, you're going to make bad decisions. You got to be streetwise. No, you don't have to be streetwise. It's the innocence of Christ we've been grafted into that's anointed with the wisdom of heaven. He said, be wise as serpents, but innocent as doves. That we are to be innocent as dove and then operate out of wisdom. And we know that Scripture talks about the wisdom of heaven in James chapter 2. So we walk from the innocence of Christ, not having to be suspicious and cynical, trying to read into something all the time. You know, then walking around hurt and offended and all that stuff. We can trust him. We can actually trust others. And even if they disappoint us, we've loved them. But we don't have to fear them making dumb decisions that because the Holy Spirit can give us the wisdom of heaven and says, no, you don't need to put that person in that position. Their brokenness is not good. You see what I'm saying? Or you don't need to do this with this person because their brokenness will not be a good thing. So it's not about rejecting people. It's just about moving in wisdom and loving them. And so you don't have to fear that if you walk in the innocence of Christ and from the innocence of Christ, you're going to make dumb decisions because you're now walking in trust because you had to build this wall around yourself so you won't get hurt anymore. And now you can just simply walk in the Spirit, loving people, loving from a place of innocence, believing from a place of innocence, and whatever it might be, whatever God's doing. You know, I'm just childlike faith, go for it. If I pray for somebody and they get healed, that's awesome. I'm believing for that. I was believing for that. Childlike faith, just the innocence of God believes, and I believe, but what if they don't get healed? Well, I believe. Childlikeness is belief. I don't understand, but if you're childlike, you don't have to understand. I just believe that God knows what he's doing. And so you have to be afraid to surrender all that nonsense that is the life of the old man. Don't walk in that anymore. You can surrender to the very life that you've been grafted into. You've been woven into the fabric of his existence, and therefore he's woven into the fabric of your existence. And his existence is he lives from a place of innocence, unbrokenness. And as you do, and it's everything's so cool and childlike, and you know, like a childlike person says, yes, this is the best day ever. That's just the way children are, little children. And if the wisdom, and you can trust as you walk in that, the wisdom of heaven will protect situations and circumstances. The wisdom of heaven will direct you. You don't have to be cynical. You don't have to be cautious all the time. Because he will give you the wisdom of heaven. You can be cautious, but it's not because you're cynical. But it's because the wisdom of heaven is giving you insight about certain things. Okay? I hope that makes sense to you. The freedom of living from the righteousness of Jesus, the unbrokenness and the innocence of Jesus, is an amazing thing. Okay, well, God bless you. Have a great day.